Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program that addresses challenges faced regionally, the need for and consequences of change, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. Chris Kington Barker is your host today, and she's joined by guests Jim and Carlin Eckford, co-founders of Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary in San Luis Obispo, a nonprofit since 2016 with a new 45-acre site to open soon. We're inviting you to listen and learn and encourage you to be a part of the discussion. We're live in the studio today. You can call in your questions or comments during the show at 805-781-3875. And with that, let's join Chris and her guests. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. A random encounter with a lonely donkey named Harry, who was cast out into a field beside a local highway and neglected by his owner, started a couple's passionate mission. Deeply moved by the donkey's neglect and resulting death, the couple formed Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary in 2016, and their dedication to rescuing abandoned and mistreated donkeys has continued to grow through the years. Along with it, how little they knew or how much they knew about these animals, how much there was yet to learn and appreciate, and the possibility that they encountered of eventual extinction of donkeys if things don't change in some ways they faced have all been possibilities that they look toward in the future and want to manage. I'm visiting today with Jim and Carlin Eckford, and we're going to be talking about some of those topics and also about their Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary, the existing one, and also the new one that is soon to open in San Luis Obispo. Welcome, Carlin and Jim.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris, thank you very much. We look forward to talking with you today.
Well, let's talk for a moment about you, because we got a lot to talk about with donkeys. But I want to first talk about, you know, the idea of getting involved in a donkey sanctuary. Jim, your background, you've been here in San Luis Obispo for quite a while. You were originally involved in technology.
And, yes, I was.
In dot-com work.
Yes, a little company named Zeotech.
Yeah, Zeotech, just a little company here for the Central Coast. At that point in time, I don't think Zeotech really was involved with donkeys. So,
no, not at all. Yeah. Zeotech made little embedded computers, so the donkey thing was about as far away from what we did as anything.
Yeah, and for you, Carlin, your background and what you were doing was you were involved in energy and body work, massage healing.
Massage therapy, yes.
And you're an artist.
Yes.
Yes. And when did it occur to you? Was it really anything before your encounter with this little donkey that you really said, oh, my gosh, this is really something that I want to dedicate so much time and life to?
Part of the idea came from a visit that I had during an art workshop in Oregon in about 2020, which is eons ago now. But some of the people that were there invited us to their home for dinner, and they had three miniature donkeys. And I had never thought about, really seen, touched, had any idea about donkeys before in my life or gave them a thought. But I came home and I told Jim how great these animals were and how sweet. And I was just kind of amazed at these animals. They're just the most kind and sweet animals, and that I'd never even thought about them in my life. And so when we bought the 10 acres that we're presently on, we thought, well, how about if we get a couple of donkeys? But that led into me doing a lot of research into how to care for donkeys and what they were all about. This research was mainly about those subjects, not about what we've gotten into at this point. Mm-hmm. So it was mostly about how to take care of them.
And your first two donkeys, Lolita and Lola.
And Lulu, yes.
And Lulu were mammoth donkeys.
They were mammoth
donkeys. They weren't
donkeys.
Little.
They were not little.
Not little teeny donkeys.
During my research, I found, first of all, we visited a couple of ranches that had donkeys here in this area, one in Buellton, and then some people that became very good friends of ours in Arroyo Grande. And they had an a lot of miniatures. And so we visited to see what they were doing with their donkeys. And then I kept on, you know, reading and researching. And then I found the mammoth donkey. And I was just amazed at, you know, well, the bigger the better. They're so beautiful and amazing looking animals. So that took a little more thought process. And I talked to the friends that we met here in Arroyo Grande and asked if they knew anyone with mammoth donkeys. As it turned out, one of their best friends in Redding, California, raised both minis and mammoths. So she said, if you want to see some mammoths, call them up. So I called them, Sue and Ernie O'Dell, who raised beautiful animals. And she said, oh, it's great you called just now because we just had a new baby. She's about 4 months old and she is beautiful. You need to come and see her. So we flew up there and maybe we drove. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. But we flew up there and we met Lolita, who became our very first donkey.
And so when you talk about a mammoth donkey, they're big.
They are big. And the difference in the breeds, I can't give you an accurate measurement right now, but there are divisions between the sizes of donkeys that are based on the height at the withers. And so the mammoths, of course, are the biggest ones. They're, I think, well, for instance, if people are familiar with horses, our mammoth, biggest mammoth girl was 16 and a half hands. That's at the withers. That's not at the top of her head. So the withers is the low point on the neck where it joins the body. She was a huge girl. And we ended up buying her half-sister because you should always have two donkeys.
And that why is that? Because you often do see two donkeys.
They always pick a partner when they're in a herd. They always have a, not necessarily a mate type of mate, male and female mate, but they always have a buddy. And donkeys play very differently with each other than horses do. They can be very rough, grabbing each other's necks, and it looks like they're really going to cause some pain. They know what they're doing. But having said that, they have incredibly strong jaws and sharp teeth. And sometimes watching the males play together can be kind of scary because you think they're going to kill each other when they're actually playing. So they are very different than horses in that way. And it's something that you have to learn about before you get them. They're the most gentle animals, and yet they're so strong. I mean, I think there are a lot of animals in this world that have the power to kill you if they want to, and a donkey definitely could if they wanted to, but they don't want to.
Did you have experience with horses before?
Never.
You never have?
Never had a horse.
So when there are big differences between horses and donkeys, at least from what I've heard from equestrians, mm-hmm. from you. Can you talk a little bit about what some of those differences are?
Donkeys are primarily evolved as desert animals, living in desert or dry, and typically their diet is very dry, you know, desert type vegetation and things that don't have much sugar, much carbs in it. You know, they'll travel around for miles and they'll eat cactus and wood and all those trees that live in those environments. So that's all a very different environment than what they encounter when they come to a domestic situation. I think their whole personality is quite different because I think horses are a little more excitable. Well, I know some are very much more excitable. If you're near them, you can be petting them and then make a move and they jump. You can wave your arms in front of a donkey all day long. You know, they know you and they don't even move an inch or bat an eye because really they're very calm natured animal.
When equestrians talk about horses, what they talk about is that horses really need to feel safe, and they're subject to being seen as being at the whim of predators, right? So they're really wanting to. They really are in tune with when they're feeling safe, when they're not feeling safe. Donkeys don't seem to have that same kind of an alarm system.
They do, actually.
But is it different? Does it show up differently?
So a donkey is a prey animal, so there are animals after them in the wild. And so let me add right here that if you have donkeys, you shouldn't be having them around dogs, any other animals that want to run around them, because their instinct, their basic instinct, is to go after these animals, because these are the kind of things that would be after them in the wild. You know, mountain lions, things of that nature will go after donkeys in the wild. And they can take down a donkey in the wild. A coyote, not so much. They might get a little foal that's sick, but they're not going to attempt to take down a donkey. A donkey's very, very powerful. You asked me about
what about stubbornness of a donkey?
That's always a question. So that's very interesting, because I don't find it stubborn. And I think that most people who have donkeys and are familiar with them just put that word right out of the vocabulary. Donkeys, could go back to your point about horses, always want to feel safe. And so I have found with these rescues that come to us, and they're terrified of us initially because they've had really bad experiences, or they've been injured and have all sorts of physical problems that make them vulnerable if they were out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in nature, but people have allowed them to come into this state, and they are very vulnerable, and so they're very worried when they first come. But they're very intelligent, and I realized that they just want to be safe. If they know they're safe, you can do just about anything with them. Because really, we have to teach them to be able to lift up their feet so they can get their hooves trimmed. And they have to have dentals, and they have to be handled if you're going to be able to take care of them. You can't do this if they don't feel safe and trust you. And I've realized that it doesn't take that long for them to feel safe with someone if they know that you have their best interests at heart.
What has been the biggest lesson that you think you learned in engaging with the donkeys and caring for the donkeys? One of the biggest ones that you learned that was helpful for you?
I think one thing that... This is true, I think, of a lot of animals, but I think with donkeys, they're very intuitive. I mean, they know what you're up to before you even get inside the gate. And they're very, they're so good with children and with handicapped mentally or physically disabled people that come to our property. They're just very intuitive, and they know what's going on, and they're so gentle. Just lay their head in someone's lap. I mean, they're wonderful, and they're not such a flight animal like a horse is. So, you know, if they have their head, for instance, in a child's lap and the child picks his arm up suddenly, they're not going to jump up and run. They're just going to stand there because they understand what's going on. I see that over and over again.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about after you had Lulu and Lolita, what possessed you then to take in some of the other donkeys that you brought in? Because those two were more or less pets.
Yeah, we got them as pets, and they were beautiful, big girls. I would tell you a little bit about mammoth donkeys. That if you go to Spain, you'll see a lot of mammoth donkeys, and they're the work animal there.
Mm-hmm.
Ours didn't work, of course. We worked. Yeah. We did all the work. But they're very gentle. And I feel like each group of size of donkeys has a bit of a different personality. You know, I think the mammoths are very, very...
Go ahead.
Teddy bearish.
Yeah.
I would say this word I like to use. They're very kind of mellow kind of guys. Maybe it's because of their size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can run super fast, but they tend not to be doing that in their life. They tend to just be totally sweet and cuddly. And so these two girls were especially like that, and they came from a very wonderful family. who loved all of their animals very much. And so they, while we had them, we decided to go visit, I think we went to visit Red Wings Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to go look at some other animals. They were in Lockwood at the time. And they had a herd of donkeys, most of which were had been pulled from Death Valley. And they had one guy that was not. And all the other Death Valley guys seemed to want to push him out of the food and push him out of the way. And we just really felt for this little guy. So in 2014, we got our mammoths in around 2002. In 2014, we lost our first girl, Lulu. And so we wanted to find a donkey to bring in to keep our other girl company right away. We felt we should get another mammoth because she was so big. She's actually one of the biggest mammoths recorded in the world, I found out later. But she was a big, big girl. And so we went back to Red Wings and we thought, let's go get that little guy who was ostracized by the rest of the donkeys. And so we went and picked him up. And his name was Jojo. So he was really our first rescue donkey. This was in 2014 when our Lulu died. So we picked up Lulu, Jojo, I think, in January of 2015. And we brought him home. And Jojo's history was that he had been used for roping practice by some cowboys. And I think this is common in many areas and it's a horrible thing to do. I think it's horrible for any animal.
Rather than using like a dummy.
A calf, a pony, whatever it is they would use. I don't know what they use because I'm not in that business. But they use them because they can. And it's horrible because, as I said, donkey wants to be safe. So here you have someone chasing them down with a horse, throwing a rope around their neck, their legs, stretching out their body. Long story short, Jojo was in a horrible physical shape after years of this. And he had arthritis all through his body. Aww. He couldn't really lift his head above body level. It wasn't up above his body like most equines are. It was pretty much always straight ahead. And his legs were a little deformed from that, the ropes. And he was the most kind, sweet gentleman boy. So it's cute because when we first brought him back to be friends with Lolita after Lulu was gone, she was, of course, very upset. But we brought Jojo in the door and she just growled at him. It was like, who are you? Like, get out of my face. And he just kept staying as far enough away from her that she wouldn't be pissed off. And he would stay like 20 feet away. And then he'd try to move 19 feet and then she'd, and he'd back up a little more. And this went on for a couple of weeks. And one day we came out and they were both laying together out in the sand pile.
Aww.
He just worked his way into her good graces because he was so sweet and so kind. So that was literally our first rescue that was a rescue. He was already rescued, but he had been saved from going to slaughter. And he was really a wonderful boy. So then we started. So I should go in. This is a whole new subject, but there was a time when all of the kill pens, and which are the place where all the animals go, either waiting for an auction or waiting to be bought to go to slaughter. They're around Texas, Oklahoma. I don't know where all of the kill pens are, and I don't really want to know, but they used to advertise. The kill pens used to advertise all the time on Facebook and have a running reel of all the horses that were in there. So people would be looking at it, and online Facebook you could see, they'd say, can anyone save this one? Can anyone save this one? And it was really horrible and depressing to see all the time how many animals were running through here all the time. Well, once you look at it, it keeps popping up, of course, on your Facebook page. And one day, little Tootie popped up on there, our little girl that we still have now. And she looked so terrified, little donkey. She's a standard, but I would call a small standard, more petitely built. And I said to Jim, I don't know what we're going to do with this girl, but I'm going to get her out of there. So I bought her, and then I had to find someone who could quarantine her for me in Texas. She was in Texas. And I found this most wonderful lady, and she kept her for 6 weeks. And I still, for a while, didn't know what I was going to do with her when she was out of quarantine, because I hadn't planned on. I thought, are we having a rescue? I don't know. Are we going to rescue donkeys? Because it wasn't really something we had thought about all that seriously and making plans for. But as the time came when she was ready to leave, I said, send her here. So she came to us, and she was really our first real rescue out of the bad, bad situation that we took in.
Well, I'm going to put Sybil on from Oceano. Sybil. Sybil, are you there?
Hi, Sybil.
Hi. I'm sitting here listening to your segment, and I'm just so intrigued. What a lovely thing that you guys have going there. Thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, we love it.
Are you a donkey lover too, Sybil?
I am a donkey lover. I've never met one in person, but I would love to visit the sanctuary. And I see you guys have like a place for like private tours.
We do
on your website.
Yes, we only do private tours. We're not open to the public. So there is a place on our page and on our Facebook page, but on our website where you can find the information about visiting, and you can sign up and sign the releases and everything that you need to do to come and visit.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And then, so my second question is, I was with a girlfriend and she showed me a flyer of like a art or painting type workshop you guys are doing. Are you going to be continuing that?
We are. So we thought this would be a great fundraiser for us. And we thought, you know, how fun would that be for people to come and paint donkeys? So we created an event where you come and you visit with the donkeys for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then we go in and we have food and wine donated to us, hopefully, and dessert. And then I have all of the canvases for everyone and all the painting supplies. And we have 15 spots available. That was our first one that we just did in the beginning of, what month is it now? I don't know.
It's
September.
August now.
August now. Yeah. Yeah, beginning of this month. And it was very successful. So we had women come who, doesn't have to be women, but we had women come and who painted before, who never painted, who never thought about painting. And, you know, I talked a little bit about things to think about when you paint, and that how you don't have to obey a lot of rules, that you should go with your heart, put what you want to put on paper. Don't ask your husband if he likes it, because that can be discouraging. But anyway, so we had people who'd never even thought about painting, but they decided to come just for fun. And everyone had such a great time. And then the bonus was one of our volunteers, very sweet volunteer, Steve, plays guitar for the donkeys, and they just love it. And so he decided to bring his band and come and play during our art workshop. I have a feeling he might do that a lot.
And so it's understood you were not painting the actual donkeys.
No, we were not painting the donkeys.
Pictures of donkeys.
So we had a couple of pictures that you could use as a guide. We also had some napkins with donkeys on them, and some people decided to paint off the picture on the napkins. And I just loved the variety of things that people did, people who never painted, people who painted. But I had so many comments about, I'm so happy. I have the best time. I never thought about doing this. And, you know, just sit there and zone out, paying attention to yourself and what you're doing.
So it sounds like something you'd like to do, Sybil.
Yes. So our next
Absolutely.
One's coming right
I'm
up.
I'm looking on the website right now, and I was going to say, where do you sign up? But I'm looking on your website, and I see that you can sign up. So I'm actually signing up my girlfriend and I right now.
Fabulous. Well, we can't wait to meet you.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys so much for what you're doing, and I'm so excited. I see it's on September 7th, so I guess I'll meet you then. Thank you guys very much.
Wonderful.
Thank you
so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm Chris Kington-Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voices you hear with me today is Carlin Eckford, co-founder and medical director for Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary, and also joining us will be Jim Eckford, who's co-founder and executive director. And you just listened to Sonia, who was calling in with her comments and questions. You can do that as well by calling us at 805-781-3875. And Carlin, since you started with, you know, first you had JoJo, and then you got Tootie. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of began collecting these donkeys. And I think that, you know, first, the thing that we're learning here is that donkeys are social animals. And so when we see a single donkey, that's really not a kind situation for a donkey.
It is not. They're very social.
Do they sometimes pair up with other animals other than donkeys as their companions?
Well, I'm aware that people have donkeys, will have a single donkey in with a horse, sometimes with a, I don't know what else they have them with.
Sheep, goats, yeah.
Although, and let me say, it's not a good idea unless you know your particular donkey, because donkeys have been known to kill sheep, goats, calves, any animals that are around them because of their instinct. It's not because they hate those animals. Mm-hmm. Again, it's because they want to be safe. And it could either be because they don't like the way they're running around and it's bothersome for them and they're worried, or they might be trying to play with them.
And they're just harsh.
Goats have been killed playing with donkeys because, as I said, they'll grab a neck. Their goat neck is no match
for donkey mouth and teeth. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've read of a lot of sad instances where goats have been killed for this reason.
You've rescued other donkeys out of situations that were sad situations and unusual situations. Can you talk a little bit about another one?
Another one is a pair, a wonderful pair we have, Gracie and Henry, who had been at a ranch for, I think, their whole life. They were adopted from the BLM. A friend, a very good friend of ours, happened to see them at this ranch where she went to care for this horse sometimes. And she hadn't seen them. This ranch had 40 acres, but she had never seen these donkeys before this one day. And she saw their feet were so long, they were actually crossing their feet over each other to walk. The male was. And they were very crippled. Their legs had no muscle, no anything. And they were so vulnerable to
being attacked.
Everything, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so she, over time, she got the woman to surrender them to us. And this is another situation where they were so vulnerable for so long. And when they came to us, they were afraid because they don't know what's going to happen to them when they're popped suddenly into a new situation. Because basically they'd been left to their own devices out on 40 acres with no one paying any attention to them at all. No feeding, no nothing. So here they are and we want to do something to them all of a sudden, you know, fix their wounds, pick up their feet. And they don't know why you want to pick up their feet. You know, for them, it's scary. You know, they don't want a foot picked up because they can't protect themselves then. Mm-hmm. So it just takes time and patience, you know, slowly getting to that place where you start on a shoulder, touching, rubbing. They might not like it. You spend 2 minutes, give them a little treat because they were nice, walk away. You know, and next day you might do that a little bit more. And it doesn't take long. You know, I would say within less than sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks, you've got a foot you can pick up. And it's mm-hmm. so important because you have to be able to care for these animals.
Yeah.
You have to be able to have a vet come and care for them and touch them and feel around where they need to feel and do exams and do vaccinations and take blood. And, you know, you have to have a farrier come and trim the feet.
Yeah,
you can't do any of that if you're not handling your animals.
Well, we're going to take a break right now for just a few minutes, and we'll be back in just a couple. Over to you, Brad.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, as the Democratic National Convention approaches, we take stock of the historic transformation of the 2024 presidential race. We'll speak with New Yorker staff writer Evan Osnos. He's been traveling with the new Democratic ticket on its swing state tour. Join us.
A key Trump ally has helped prime some Christians for a kind of religious revival centered on former President Trump.
Our mission is very simple. We exist to kick wokeism out of the American church.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. More on right-wing activist Charlie Kirk and his network of nonprofits helping to deepen support for Trump on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's a look ahead today on KCBX. Latino USA follows this program at 2, it's Fresh Air at 3, then Marketplace at 4, and All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30, leading to an evening of music here on Central Coast Public Radio. Right now, let's return to Chris Kington Barker and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Chris.
Thank you, and welcome back with Jim and Carlin Eckward. We're talking about Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary. And one of the things that I mentioned when I was leading into the show today was some of the dangers that are ahead for donkeys just out of who we are as humans and what we do in the economy. And one of them is Ejigao. Can you talk about that and how that has an impact on the donkey population? Or CAM and does?
Yeah, I'll pick up on that one. There's a trend by the Chinese to round up donkeys and slaughter them and then take a gelatin off of the back of their hide that they use for various medications and quite a few products. And it's awful because they're rounding up donkeys worldwide and shipping them to China and making this product called Ejiao that then goes into these all kinds of beauty products and aphrodisiacs and other things that Chinese are known for. So we really try to pass the word to people to get involved and sign some of the petitions that the government's trying to outlaw Ejiao. Or we're trying to get them to outlaw Ejiao. And a lot of the companies like Walmart and eBay and others have stopped selling products with Ejiao in it. But unfortunately, Amazon hasn't. So we're always kind of frowning at Amazon and telling people that they should get after Amazon to try to stop Amazon.
And that particular product, originally it was thought that it was blood thickening. Enhancing, which it had some properties but for things like beauty enhancement and youthfulness and those kinds of things, that's kind of an entrepreneurial thing that started in China and has been making a lot of money. And I was doing some study on that, and I was surprised that the supply of donkeys in China went from 9.4 million to 6 million donkeys in 2017 alone. Mm-hmm. And with that, they can't do mass breeding of donkeys. So they've been bringing in donkeys from other countries. And they've been importing right now 1.8 million per year. And expect, if they have the kind of growth in their economy for the products that they're selling, they would need 8 to 10 million a year. So the expectation is if they keep doing this, it could potentially lead to extinction.
It's awful, yes, because you can imagine a family in Asia somewhere that's using a donkey as the truck for the family to go do
Well, in a lot of countries, yes. donkeys are not only part of the family, but also a working part of the family, mm-hmm. too.
Yes. Necessity.
So, yeah, absolutely a necessity. So, you know, when we're talking about that, let's talk a little bit about right now you're living on 10 acres with the donkeys, and you have grown in how many donkeys you've had until you can't at this point take in more donkeys, correct?
Correct.
But let's talk about the new facility. That's 45 acres. So, Jim, what is different about that facility? What does it have that this one doesn't? Because I know you've had a lot of involvement in the design of that and why it's designed that way, you and Carlin both, mm-hmm. for the benefit of the donkeys. Talk a little bit about it.
Well, I'd be happy to. Yes, we keep getting requests to take donkeys and finding situations that we should expand, and we can't. Where we are now, we're in kind of a semi-residential area, in effect, that we're at our limit on 10
acres.
And how
many do you have now?
We have 14 now, 14. One mule and 13 donkeys. And that's it. We can't take in any more, and we continued to want to be able to expand. So we found this old abandoned farm on Rigetti Road in San Luis Obispo, which is very close to where we are now, fortunately, that is 45 acres. And we built a big barn, and there's provisions for building a house there and a little guest house that we can use for visitors that come to visit donkeys. But we have 16 stalls, some of which can handle multiple donkeys, and lots of pastures that are fenced outside that can have donkeys out there. So we could handle up to 50, 60 donkeys now, which was the whole idea of this place.
And when you're talking about a barn, talk about the kind of barn that you're describing. I mean, you're not just talking about a barn that you're sticking horses in stalls. Talk about what you've included in the construction of this barn that has
gone
into
point,
this.
Good point, Chris. Yes, yeah. This new one has a lot of the capabilities that we don't have where we are now. Number one being a medical facility for Carlin to be able to administer all kinds of treatments and care to the donkeys that are in need. And I think something that you may have mentioned already was we take in donkeys that are in need of help, medical help and emotional help. We don't just rehome animals that someone's looking to pass off because the kids went away to school or something like that.
Right.
So having this extra space is really going to help bring in more real needy animals that are in trouble, that have physical or emotional problems. And I think this property is really going to give us a whole new lease on life to be able to take in animals. Another one would be taking animals for fire. If there's a big problem with a fire somewhere, we can open our doors to people bringing their animals for a safe haven while the fire control guys deal with a fire that may be attacking their barn, their facility.
Yeah, and you've really gone through a lot to construct this.
Oh yes, this is quite a project. It's a 200-by-100-foot barn with several sections for storage and for medical work that I mentioned, and for a classroom for classes to teach people more about keeping donkeys and donkey. Just all about donkeys, mm-hmm. and the medical thing is a big one, though, that Carlin is going to go crazy with her talents there, because she's really become more of a vet by doing than a lot of the vets. She's very, very good at administering medical attention to the donkeys.
To the donkeys,
she's got this nice facility now to do that, and in addition to the wonderful stalls with rubber floor mats so that they can get better treatment on their feet, not have to put so many shavings on the floors now so that they can really get...
And it's heated and cooled.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're inside. They get better treatment for rain and bad weather. We've got a big arena area that we can give them a chance to be under cover during rains and bad weather, which we don't have now. So we really struggle when it's really rainy, wet, and muddy. And all of that can be in the past for us now, given this new facility.
When do you anticipate that you'll be moving to the new facility?
Well, we just had a breakthrough. We were waiting for a year and a half for PG&E to bring us power, which I think a lot of people have that problem with.
Yes.
PG&E. But we just got it hooked up, so we're in the final stage now of getting fire control stuff checked out and water and other things checked to make sure we can get the county to give us occupancy.
And you're required to have fire sprinklered.
No, boy,
everything.
Yes. Big,
yeah.
big fire control thing, yeah, that was mandated by the county,
yeah,
which really cost us a lot more than we thought. So our budget kind of busted busted on this thing, but we're good now.
Yeah, and now you've also added an environmental element to it. Talk about some of the other things that you've added.
Well, one of the things that we thought we could do would be to plant a pollinator garden by the front of our property. Since we have all of the space, we can put it to good use with planting flowers and plants that bees and butterflies take to. So we've partnered with the Xerces Society to plant pollinator plants and take care of them, and we'll probably put in beehives too. We have a contact that wants to put beehives there, so that's one thing. And the other is we've got an extra 40 or an extra 24 acres that we're contemplating finding a crop to plant there. We've planted barley straw there before for the donkeys, and we're thinking that maybe we'll divide that up and plant other things there to help fundraise so that we can get some more revenue and also make it useful.
Now, one of the programs that you have currently going is a program for folks that are differently abled. And you had mentioned it, Carlin, that it's something that the donkeys seem very astute about because they don't spook quite as easily, that they really are easier to work with people who are differently abled, that may move differently or may have other kinds of equipment that may be frightening to other equines. Talk a little bit about that program and what you've been able to do and how you see that maybe expanding.
Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of different groups there, and they don't go in with the donkeys. We have had a couple of people go in with the donkeys, but in general, people that can't really function well physically, we don't take them in. But when they have had contact, the donkeys just are so, so gentle, and they just maneuver over and hang out by these kids and their children and adults. But it makes them so happy. And typically, we will have their visit come, because it's a lot to bring these people out, you know, with the vans and everything. And so we usually have them bring in their lunch, and we take them into the barn, and they eat lunch there. And we've had some drawing things to do there. And it's really quite a wonderful experience. And we've gotten to really, I feel like we're friends with all these kids that have been coming so far. It's just joyful for them.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned when we had a caller calling that you only do private tours. So rather than come in and buy tickets and just come in any time, you schedule for groups.
We do. These particular groups, we don't ask any donations from, and we're hoping at some point to be funded with grants to bring in these groups, because they do get grants for visits and mm-hmm. things that they do. But right now that's not happening, but that's fine. I mean, we love having them come and share the experience with us.
Yeah, I have something to add about that.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had some wonderful experiences with these groups and people that are emotionally needy. when they come to visit. We had a little boy the other day that was mute, who only, I think, were told that he had a word or two in his vocabulary. And before he left, he said, "Gracie Henry," because he had heard that we had donkeys named Gracie and Henry, and he had met them.
Oh, Gracie and Henry.
So that was a real surprise to both the people that brought him and to us. And
how
so
wonderful.
It gives us a little encouragement that maybe there's more work we can do in that area. We're not therapists. We
right.
don't have a degree in therapy right. like some people do that work with horse therapy, but we've just had some really good experiences.
Sure.
One is a woman that came to visit in a wheelchair who had a couple of the donkeys that we took in that she couldn't keep any longer, came in, and Bobo, the big mammoth donkey we have, put his head down in her lap.
Aww.
And gave her a hug, and it's just really, really heartwarming to see how he realized that she was probably in need of a little loving.
Yeah, yeah. All of these, we have about 10 minutes left, and I just wanted to remind you that if you want to join our discussion or bring a question or comment, you can do that at 805-781-3875. We'd love to hear from you. The donkeys that you take in, just as a reminder, these are donkeys for the most part now. These are rescues. So,
yes.
And a lot of these donkeys are ones that really have physical impairments, physical disabilities, or physical challenges as a result of being undercared for, mistreated, misused. And you really nurse them back to health, not only physically, but also emotionally as well. So they adapt, they heal when they're there. As a part of that, talk a little bit about how the volunteers are involved in that too. What volunteers are you looking for? You know, what qualities or what skills do they need mm-hmm. that you need?
We want volunteers. We want people usually that have some equine experience for the reason that they are heavy, large, strong animals, and they're not going to push you around, although some of them like to push you with their head a little bit. And I wouldn't consider them dangerous, but there is danger in being around any large animal that's heavy and strong. When they play with each other, they can get a little wild and be kicking out or just running, kicking out to the side. It's the kind of thing where you just have to be aware all of the time of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to come after you or they don't try to bite and things like of that nature. But you just have to be aware when there's something larger and heavier than you of its movements around you.
Okay. And we have a question from Summer. Hi, Summer.
Hello. My question is, if you could give me the email address again to sign the petition against using the donkeys for what, cosmetics and whatever they else they use them for.
Oh, do we have the email for the EJAL?
Do you?
I don't have that email before me.
I'm going to...
You can get it from our website, though.
Oh, it's... Okay.
Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary.
Rancho Burro...
DonkeySanctuary.org.
Wait, repeat that, please.
Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary.org. O-R-G.
Donkey Sanctuary. Got it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for
Thank
calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Bye. So a little bit of equine experience or some equine experience is helpful to be working with the donkeys.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So our volunteers help with grooming mm-hmm. and exercise. We take them for walks, which they love. But on that note, it's going to be so great when we move because they're meant to be running around and not just walking paths around a property. So,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely not enough exercise for them because they're strong. They can run. They love to run. But, you know, I think when they see the other end of the yard right there or pasture, it's like, where am I running to?
Yeah.
They do get all riled up because we have a couple of donkeys that really love to run and get everyone going. So gets a little wild sometimes, which is fun to watch. But we do need people to help us with all of these things. Grooming, And they need the socialization. You know, we can't do everything. I spend all the hours in the day tending to things that need tending to, but that's not always fun stuff for them, you know, treating their hooves and wounds. We have a little girl who has really delicate skin, so she's something we have to deal with every day and be aware of what's going on with her. So there are things that take time out of every day, and it all adds up when you have 14 animals to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. And cleaning stalls.
That too. Well, we have someone, we have an employee who does that. But there are days when we don't have that person there, and we can use help with that as well. Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Generally, we look for people that have equine experience, but every once in a while, someone will come along that has some characteristics or talents that stand out that we can use. And one example is a fellow named Steve Triplett, who is a guitar maker, but he plays the guitar for the donkeys.
That's what Carlin said, yeah.
And we have a couple videos of him when he's playing for the donkeys with the donkey, or one of our newer donkeys, Pepe, put his head on his shoulder and just loves him. It's really cute. So I think we'll post that on our website or on social media so people can see it. But that's an example where someone who's not really fit enough to deal with the donkeys physically, he uses a talent that's welcomed by us because he gets such a wonderful reaction from the donkeys.
So how soon do you think you'll be moving into the new facility?
Within months.
Within a few months. Okay. And how difficult will it be to move the donkeys?
I don't think it'll be that difficult. We have taken a couple of them out there at a time in the trailer. For one thing, it's good for them to get used to being on trailer rides and going somewhere they think is fun. But we take them and we just can walk them around there, and they love that whole experience. I think it's probably going to seem odd to them to be in a totally different place and stay there because they're not used to that location. But I think they'll just love the environment a lot.
You sometimes sleep in the stall with the donkeys, Carlin.
She does.
I was out there last night.
And why?
We have a little special needs girl, Polly, who she has needs all over her body. She's blind in one eye, partially blind in another eye. She has horrible hoof issues that have to be cared for really every 3 weeks. She has her skin is like crepe paper. You know, you wash it and it falls apart. It's gotten better, but she's someone that we have to really keep an eye on and make sure that she's always safe and doing well. She's had so many issues. She has somewhat of a fear of laying down at night, so she doesn't. I watch her in the camera, and she starts to lay down, and then she catches herself and stands up, and it's really hard to watch this. You know, of course, I keep watching. I don't go to sleep. And then I finally go out there so I can, you know, be with her and give her a little snack and just pet her. And, you know, I can't stay out of there. That's why.
Are you training other people to be able to do some of what you do so that you don't have to do it all?
Yes. And right now we have one volunteer in particular. We have some great volunteers, but one volunteer spends so much time there, Nancy, and she is just like my right-hand man. You know, she's there medicating feet, doing this, doing that, giving meds, and she's an example of someone who just went in there. She loves the animals. She wants to get in there and help and do what she can do, and it's not something other people can't do. You have to have the will and the love of doing that, and, and you'll do it.
What kinds of, you know, as you move into the new facility, if someone wanted to help with this effort, you know, and they weren't equine or they just wanted to be able to support, how could they do that?
We'll have a lot of jobs as we move in because we have so many things to set up, communication things and just record keeping and, you know, inviting people in, and we'll have the ability to have more people probably more often, and people that help with tours and help with events if we have special events. So there's a lot of things besides just working with the animals. Mm-hmm. And we are talking to people when they call about volunteering, telling them there's a lot that you can do for us when we move. So don't dismay if you just aren't into the equines themselves.
And they can sign up on your website.
Yes, and one of the big things is we have a program called the Sidekick program that we've just launched recently that would give people a chance to help us financially, which is always a big problem we have to fund all of this work and the care we give. So someone can look into that and donate some amount, could be very small, every month to help us keep things going. Neither Carla nor I take a salary at all. In fact, we have a reverse salary where we
put a lot of your own money into this.
We donate two-thirds of the cost of running this operation ourselves.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary, look at some of the ways you can support. You can reach out through their website, RanchoBurroDonkeySanctuary.org. I want to thank my guests today, Carlin and Jim Eckford, co-founders of Rancho Burro Donkey Sanctuary. I'm getting all tongue-tied. Next week, I'll be back with you again as your host with guests for the Paso Robles Youth Arts Center, a nonprofit serving the San Luis Obispo community, and where the arts are a pathway to inspire and create fully empowered individuals. I'm Chris Crington Barker, and I thank you for joining us today for Central Coast Voices.